Our Indonesia correspondent Samantha Hawley recently spent some time in the infamous Kerabakan prison in Bali for an episode of Foreign Correspondent. She met with two of the Bali Nine members, Matthew Norman and Siyi Chen, who are both serving life sentences. Here's some of Sam's interview with Matthew Norman, who was jailed when he was just 18 years old.
My name's Matthew Norman, and I'm a prisoner here in Kerabakan prison in Bali. I've been here since 2005. And I have a life sentence.
And how old are you now?
I'm now 30 years old.
Describe to me then what you were like when you were 18.
Reckless, careless, wanting to cut corners in life, which is hence why I'm in my position now. So, yeah.
What sort of upbringing did you have?
I had a good upbringing. I had a good family. My dad was always good to us. And yeah, really good relatives and all that. It's just, I had a good upbringing. It's just my own stupidity that led me to where I am today. So I can't fault my upbringing whatsoever.
When did you start to take the sort of a different path or a wrong path, if you like?
I think when I was about 16, when I finished high school, I didn't want to continue on and get my HSC. I wanted to work. And it wasn't always easy finding work. So, I just met up with the wrong crew and things grew from there.
How did you become become involved in drug trafficking?
Well, a friend just approached me and said, would you like to get involved in this? And without thinking about the consequences, I was thinking more about the money that was involved in it, which in retrospect wasn't that much, actually. But at the time I thought, oh, wow. With that, I could buy a car, I could fast-track my life. Like I said, cut corners, really. Easy cash, fast cash.
And how much were you promised to be paid?
$15,000, which is a lot to an 18-year-old. But when you look back at it now, it's peanuts, it's nothing.
So what were you going to do with that $15,000?
Probably buy a car. And just waste it, probably. Knowing me back then, waste it.
How do you feel about what you've done to your family?
I regret it. If I could change it, I definitely would. So now it's just trying to do the best that I possibly can in here with what I have to show them that I'm a changed person, to show them that I deserve a second chance, not just in society, but to them as well. And they'll always love me because I'm their family, their son, their brother. But I feel that I owe it to them to show them that I can be the best possible me in here.
What impact did it have on them that you saw?
My sister got really depressed when I got arrested. She became anorexic. She got really skinny. It was really tough on her. My older sister had trouble as well. Had people harassing my family, not just media, but other people as well. There's some hate mail, things like that. It was tough on them because my family never knew what I was up to. I never had an extensive criminal history back home at all. So I think that would be the very last thing they expected me to get involved in. So it was very tough on my family to come to grips with it. Yeah.
How do you mentally cope with the thought that you will never leave here?
It's tough. So my mind keeps going back to the possibility of our sentence being reduced at some point based on good behaviour. So it's just every day, it's just a struggle just to keep doing the good things, even though all around you sometimes can be chaos. You can have other prisoners just going mental, going crazy because of their own circumstances. But I can't fall into that. I've got to just focus on myself and look what my reward is, because they don't have a life sentence. They can go and do whatever they want with little to no consequences. My consequences are huge. If I stuff up and make a mistake, I potentially could be here for the rest of my life. So I've got to make sure that every day I'm doing the best that I can and that I have the best chance to get a reduction.
Do you cry much, or how do you...
Not anymore, but
you did?
I cry when I have the death penalty, only because of the reactions of my family. That was so tough. But aside from that, I don't cry anymore because I remind myself I'm here because of me. So there's no point in crying. No one's hurt me. I've hurt myself.
And what are your strongest characteristics?
Will be patience. I've had to learn patience. So that's what you hear from the guards a lot is sabar, which means patience. Be patient and all good will come.
What's the worst thing you've seen in here?
The worst thing was seeing someone that I was close to. I mean, I wasn't exactly close to him, but a friend, he was another foreigner, he was a Japanese guy. He was depressed, but he didn't tell anybody about that, about his depression. And he went and hid behind the clinic and hung himself. So that was a bit tough. He'd been here for about 5 years, and he did have quite a long sentence. I think he had about another 10 more years to go. So it was tough when he hung himself, and it's just a reminder that if you're not doing good in here, if you're not being positive and everything, that's the alternative to being positive, is the negatives and the suicidal thoughts. And he actually went through with it.
You told me a story a while ago about what people used to bring you in the beginning, you know, when they came to visit, and one of those things was this. The Redskin, you know,
yeah,
probably
Redskins
a sign of your age.
And Milkos and just candy.
Just tell me about that. What you know, when you were first in here, just 18, 19, not even into your 20s yet.
Yeah.
You're just a kid, you know. What are they bringing you?
I was getting a lot of comfort food. I guess people thought with stress, a lot of people talk about chocolate and things like that being a good stress release. So I had a lot of chocolate, and I picked out to the point where you get sick. And people say, oh, just eat it slow. You don't need to eat it all in one go. I can't do that. I know if I have it, I got to finish it. If I don't have it, I don't want it. So my mind's telling me, Matt, you got chocolate in the cupboard, go and eat it. So I go and open it, have a bar of it, all of it. And then it just starts screaming at me again, come on, Matt. It's going to go bad. The ant's going to get into it. Just finish it. You've already ate most of it anyway. I'm like, oh, well, okay. So friends would bring chocolate, they'd bring candy bars, junk food.
What was your favourite lolly?
A friend, it used to be my favourite until my friend brought me a whole box of Curly Whirlies. I don't think they're making them anymore, but they brought me a whole box of Curly Whirlies. I finished the whole thing in about a week. So it was, yeah, Curly Whirlies and Redskins.
What would be your message to whoever would make the decision? I suppose at the moment it's Joko Widodo. So what would be your message to President Widodo, who could make a decision to grant you a reduction in your sentence and clemency?
I think my message to the President would be, I understand his hard stance on drugs, and society's getting ruined because of drugs, it's true. Prisoners can change. Please have a look at what we're doing in here and what's going on in other prisons, and please believe that inmates can change, and yeah, just please just have a look at us.
Matthew Norman speaking to Samantha Hawley.